Welcome to the 15th United We Stand podcast of the season. My name's Andy Mitten and I join you from Istanbul. I've just landed in the biggest city in Turkey, a city of 13 million people, and I'm in a taxi on the way to the centre. I'm staying near Taksim Square, which is famous for where the Leeds fans ran into all those problems. I've been here several times, probably my 8th or 9th time, and the first time wasn't good. That was in 1993, when I never got to see the game. I was deported along with about 160 other United fans, done absolutely nothing wrong, not a hooligan, never have been, but we were rounded up in our hotel and told we were being taken to another hotel, where we were actually taken to a police station, forced to sign statements we couldn't understand, held for nearly 24 hours without food or drink, then we were deported. So my first impression of Turkey and Istanbul was very negative. I came back a year later, United drew Galatasaray again, and that's when I experienced the atmosphere in Ali Sami Yen for the first time. And it was incredible, absolutely brilliant. I really fell for the passion of the Turkish fans and the noise that they create, and I was quite envious as well. I thought, it's brilliant, I wish we could have more of this in England. So I'm in a taxi now, on the way to Taksim Square, and the taxi driver's told me that he's a Galatasaray fan, and he showed me a copy of today's paper, Fanatic, which is the best-selling paper here. I was minding my own business looking through it, and then I see my name pop up in the headline. The newspaper have taken something that I've written in the Manchester Evening News and about the atmosphere. I was very complimentary of saying the atmosphere is brilliant. I said Galatasaray may not be one of the giants in comparison with Manchester United, Real Madrid or Barcelona, but when it comes to noise, there will beat us. And they are. I came to Istanbul 3 weeks ago for the Cluj game to make a film about their fans, and even though Cluj are not big name visitors, the atmosphere was still really, really good. So I'm in the taxi going round the Golden Horn, seeing a lot of sights. The Blue Mosque is just over to my right now. It's rush hour, so progress is painfully slow. And I've also just seen a sign for Aksaray, which has brought back memories, because that was where our hotel was in 1993. And knowing now what I knew then helps me piece together what went wrong. The hotel was not in a good part of Istanbul, and we went for a drink in a bar close to our hotel the night before the game, when we were surrounded by Galatasaray fans, and that's when the trouble really started, because they followed us back to our hotel, surrounded the hotel, and then it kicked off big time. I was on the fourth floor in my bedroom when a brick flew through the window, covered the room in glass, and I was shitting myself, if I'm honest. And I think most United fans were, one or two actually enjoyed it. They enjoyed the trouble. It gave them a buzz. They were looking for a buzz and they found it in violence. But I wasn't one of them. Now crossing over the Golden Horn, I can see the fishermen. Even though it's dark, the fishing on the right and the left of the bridge. And it's a magical city, Istanbul. It's the end of where the Orient Express terminus was. And it's a really prosperous city now compared to when I first came here. There's lots of big shopping malls full of designer stores. Of course, the average wages in Turkey are nowhere near as high as they are in the UK. They're about half, but Turkey's been a very progressive country in many ways and not in other ways. It's got an emerging middle class. I think it's got among the highest rates of social media in the world. Lots of people on Twitter and Facebook. Whether that's a good or bad thing is open to interpretation. I'm just going past now the area where I stayed in 93. Well, I was supposed to stay, but I didn't actually spend the night in the hotel there. And just looking at it now, you can see it's a bit shabby and a bit run down, and I wouldn't come back and stay in that area. So we're close to Taksim. My intention is to check in and then head up on the metro to the ground. I'm by myself, got quite a few friends here. There's 800 United fans come here. They've come from Manchester for a day or two. I hope to meet them, but I'm going to get in the metro by myself. And I'm a bit wary just because of what's happened here in the past. But I think you're sometimes safer when you're by yourself. And if need be, I can pretend to be a Spanish tourist. I've done that before, sad to say. I did it in Rome a couple of years ago when it got really nasty between Roma's ultras and some Manchester United fans, and there were real problems there. And I was on a bus and I could see people eyeing me up, and someone asked me where I was from, and I just played daft that was pretty frightening. So I hope that I don't have the same problems here. I'm going to get the metro up to the ground, but first stop will be Taksim Square. I'm down one of the main streets in Nevizadze. It's 5 hours before the game. And as you can hear, brilliant atmosphere. So I came. So this is one of the three main streets where Galatasaray fans meet before the game, and they drink, they eat, they create a din. Everyone wears their colours. It's fantastic. I've got to be really careful here when I speak English, because you get a couple of looks, but it's impressive. I've just reached Taksim Square. I've just bumped into someone who was on the podcast a few weeks ago. What's your name, sir?
My name's Tony O'Neill, and I've had 7 kebabs.
Are you having a nice time in Istanbul?
Oh, fantastic, Andy. Fantastic. Yeah, everyone's being robbed blind, and it's vicious here, it's violent, like the club said, you shouldn't come here, but what a great time we're having.
Now, tell me what it's really like here.
Fantastic. Yeah. Best place you could ever come to.
Yeah.
And we've had the best advice you could ever be given. Go in the bar and carry on drinking, which is nice.
So everyone's had a good time?
Yes. Everyone is having a great time. And to be honest with you, Andy, I've got to go to the bar.
I'll leave you to it.
Good night.
See you later. Met another Red who's well known, Mick Groom. How's the trip going, Mick?
Oh, fantastic. Had a good trip so far, yeah.
Tell me what you've done. When did you leave?
We left yesterday afternoon. We got here at 5 o'clock with Fat Jack and all the boys. Yeah, we've had a great night last night and a few beers today, so we're just going to make our move to the ground very soon.
How's everyone been with you?
The Turks are the Turks, and they've been good. They've been okay. Like, you know, we haven't met anyone that's.
And you're the owner of a very famous flag. Tell us about it.
It's a United Kids white flag. Obviously, not everyone likes it, but it's my flag. I chose it because I chose United before the kids and the wife, and so that's.
In what way did you choose United before the kids and the wife?
Well, when I was young and I got married, she wasn't happy, and she decided to say to me, it's watching United or you can go. So I stayed watching United and we split up, and I haven't seen two of my kids since.
Really?
Yeah.
That's quite sad.
It is sad, but it's, you know, I don't regret it now, Andy, but, you know, it's one of those things, I can't change it now. And the flag was done, not so much in jest, but it was just something that I had to do. And
because when I first saw it, I think it was in Los Angeles about 2003. It's probably been around before then.
Yeah.
I thought it was light-hearted. You know, I thought it was a...
No, that was the reason. It was done for a reason, and just to let the ex-wife know that life carries on.
Has she ever seen it or heard of it?
Of course she has. Yeah, of course she has.
Has she said anything?
No, not to me. I don't speak to her.
Don't believe that.
Yeah. Yeah, the grandparents tell us, but yeah.
So why did you come to Turkey? The game doesn't really mean anything.
I come in 93, got arrested.
Me too. Deported?
Deported.
Me too. Did you do anything wrong?
I didn't do anything wrong.
Me neither.
You know, and in fact, to be fair, I come out from Manchester that day, and there was only 4 people, I think, on the plane going on that actually see the game. Couldn't afford it the year after. I've not missed a trip to Turkey since, and, you know, that's why I wanted to come here and see United play Galatasaray.
What do you like about coming to Turkey? What I love coming here is the atmosphere.
Istanbul's a fantastic city. You know, it's one of the best cities in the world. It's vibrant. There's everything you want. And the football support was great. I mean, like, you know, Besiktas was brilliant. Fenerbahce was fantastic. Bursaspor was great. I haven't experienced Galatasaray. I'm just pleased that they can still qualify. I want them to show me how good they think they are.
In terms of the noise?
I want them to show me how good they are. You know, I've heard, you know, they are allegedly supposed to be the best. I'm hoping that they show me how good they are today.
See it with your own eyes.
I want to see it. You know, every other Turkish side's impressed me. I want them to show me as well.
With Barmy Kev, very well-known United fan, tell us about your trip so far to Istanbul.
Tired. Very tired. Set off for Norwich, 7 o'clock in the morning on Saturday. Got there around dinner time. All day on the bay. All night on the bay.
That's Saturday night. We're now Tuesday night.
Sunday, set off at 10 a.m. from Norwich to Stansted Airport by a taxi. On the bay again. Got to Istanbul around tea time, on the beer again. Two nights of it, just too much now.
How many times have you been here before to watch football?
Is it six or seven?
What do you like about coming here, or dislike?
It's good here. I always liked it here. Really, really good place.
What makes it good?
It's different. Different there. The people, apart from that first time when we came here, the people have been brilliant with us, you know. They were fantastic. They always have been, they're always friendly here. Yeah.
Decent atmosphere in the grounds as
well. Yeah, very good. They're always behind the team and yeah, so really good.
What happens now after the game? When do you go back to Manchester and how?
I think it's 6 o'clock in the morning we go back. Something like that, and straight in work then.
Straight to work?
Straight to work to save a day for next year and yeah.
I'm now on the Istanbul underground system, just following the crowd really. The mood's good because they wouldn't suspect that there is a Manchester United supporter in their midst. I just walked across Taksim Square and United fans who've been having a few beers are singing in bars, and close by our Galatasaray fans, they're also singing, but they don't know that a couple of pubs are full of United fans. And while the atmosphere's been good, I wouldn't like to see the two groups come into contact with each other. So I'm just following the crowd here. Everybody's wearing scarves with yellow and red, Galatasaray fans. And if I speak English, people look at me straight away, so I'm talking quietly. I'm going to get the metro to the north of the city, where the new stadium's been built. It replaces the Ali Samiyem, which is the old stadium where United played in 93 and 94. That only holds 24,000. That was the problem. It was too small and it was surrounded by apartment blocks. So it couldn't be expanded, and a team of Galatasaray standing in support, and they estimate 10 million fans in Turkey alone, needed a much bigger stadium. So they talked for about 15 years about building one and finally settled on a new arena on a northern motorway just out of the city in quite a wealthy area, and it's similar to the Emirates. I'm going to go down another tunnel now, so it's the third tunnel I've gone down, and get on the metro. Just come out of the metro station and past men selling bottles of water and pips to the first view of the stadium. I'm being very, very quiet here because I don't want to be heard speaking English, but stadium looks like a giant flying saucer. It's all lit up, red and yellow, and red in Galatasaray's colours. It looks really smart. The fans are everywhere, as you'd expect. 52,000 capacity crowd. A lot of police around as well. Not seen another English person since I left the centre of the city. I'm going to try and get inside the ground. I was just walking along then, not saying anything to anyone, and a guy just came up to me and said, "Are you from Manchester, friend?" I've got no colours on or anything, and I said, "Yeah," and he said, "Welcome. Friendship is important," he said. "Welcome." I said, "Oh, thank you." So that's... don't often get that when you walk into Goodison or Anfield across Stanley Park. More news as I get it. The game's about to kick off, and the stadium is an incredible sight. Behind one end, everyone's holding up a collage saying Galatasaray. Underneath that, there's a huge picture of a lion with the words "No mercy will be shown." And on the other side is a massive Galatasaray flag. It's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. And the United fans in the corner, sparsely spread across an away end, holding about 3,000, probably 500-600 United fans in there, trying their best, singing United. Gonna have to work out tonight. 34 minutes into the game now, and and the noise is still deafening. But United have not relented. United have held firm against a side with an awful home record so far in the Champions League. They really don't like it whenever a decision goes against them. It's painful on the ears. Everybody stands up screaming and jeering, and they've had a few shouts for penalties. But United don't look overly troubled by what Galatasaray have got to offer. United have played far stronger teams and come away with a win, and they don't even need to win tonight. United will be happy with a draw. But the one standout feature of this occasion, rather than the game itself, is the noise. It's brilliant. It's half-time in Istanbul with David McDonald, the United correspondent for the Mirror. What have you made of the game so far?
Well, I think the players have acquitted themselves very well. I mean, it's, as we all know, a very hostile atmosphere, quite intimidating for some of the younger players. But I think they've all played very well. They've been showing great industry, great purpose, great endeavour, great appetite for the game. There've been a couple of scares at the back, but you know, that's what you expect, you know, when you've got an unfamiliar lineup. I think Powell's done very well on his first competitive start. I think I've been quite impressed with him. So I think it's a positive start. I think the game's there to be won if United want to, but I think that they're not overexerting themselves. That's the key at the moment. They're just playing within themselves, but they're certainly holding their own against a pretty decent Galatasaray side. You know, they came to Old Trafford, they hit the woodwork I think two or three times, had a couple of good penalty shouts as well that were turned down. And I've had a couple here tonight that looked good shouts.
You mentioned the atmosphere. Describe it.
Well, I mean, it's incredible. I mean, you know, we've been over here a few times, obviously with Bursaspor and Besiktas and Fenerbahce before, but this is something else, Galatasaray. I mean, I wasn't here in 93, that infamous Welcome to Hell trip. But it's incredible. I mean, you've got the flares and you've got the relentless noise from the fans, and you know, every time the eyes of players on the ball, they're jeering and shouting and you know, trying to sort of see if there's any kind of weakness in their makeup. And so it is a very intimidatory, you know, hostile atmosphere. But as I said at the outset, I think it's a very, very young United team. This, I think, someone was saying it's 23 years and 10 months is the average age. So it's extremely young in age terms. I mean, obviously quite a few of them are experienced and they've played internationals. But certainly they've done well in what is a difficult environment to play in.
Galatasaray have scored! I've won the final whistle's just gone and the celebrations are on pitch. The players are going over to the home end, they're running towards the fans, they're throwing the shirts into the end. Most of the United players applauded the away fans. Rafael didn't, sadly, but the rest of them did. And the players are now in the dressing room. The Galatasaray players are running towards the ultrasan, who started lighting flares. They're taking off the shirts, they're throwing them into the end. Big, big celebrations here in Istanbul. They're made up that they've beaten Manchester United. The game's just finished. What did you make of it?
I thought United done exceptionally well with the team they were out. I thought the referee was a disgrace. Could have sent two of their players off in the first half. Should have sent them off, not could have. I just think that changed the game.
Which United players did well for you?
I thought Powell did well. I thought just a pity the young King didn't get much more time when he came on. But I thought it was a terrific performance. I've never heard fans like that in my life before. I wasn't hearing the last time United played Galatasaray. I wish I could ship them and take them to Old Trafford for every home match.
Brilliant, isn't it?
They were absolutely
brilliant.
Fantastic.
I sat watching, envious, at the Moise Cray, thinking, why can't we have a little bit of this?
This at Old Trafford. Yeah. They were absolutely fantastic.
No, no problems.
No. But to be fair to the United lads, they cannot be ashamed of their performance. They've done exceptionally well.
Yeah. And a lovely little put down from the manager down.
Oh,
Turkish journalist.
What has changed?
You were disappointed here in 93 and you're disappointed here now. Has anything changed in 19 years? He said, yeah.
Won the European Cup twice, got beaten one of the finals. I thought that was hilarious. He was looking straight at me and he just started laughing and we all started laughing.
And he also said, and we've qualified this time.
Yeah,
as well.
For that, yeah.
Right. So have you had a good trip?
Oh, Turkey's beautiful. I always like coming to Turkey. It's terrific, actually.
Three United players have died recently, former players.
Yes. Why are you looking at me like that?
Kenny Morgans. Well, I'm not saying you're going to die or anything like that.
Yeah, disappointing. Kenny Morgans I met a few times over the last few months, particularly Old Trafford. Looked as fit as a butcher's dog. Yeah. But unfortunately, I'm not sure what an aneurysm or what, and just died instantly. And Harry McShane, who ran the Old Players Association, I can't go back to the funeral because I'm here. The funeral's tomorrow morning. I know the manager and Bobby's going back, but my two sons are going to be there, so lovely man Harry was as well.
Yeah, and John Connelly, he played with him.
John was a terrific fella.
Yeah.
I couldn't go to that funeral either, but there was a group of people went from the Old Players Association as well. John was a terrific
good player.
Oh, he was a terrific player. Don't forget, he was the 1966 England World Cup squad.
Yeah. You know, in 64-65 when he won the league, he played in 60 matches.
He was terrific.
He played every single game.
He was the only one I ever saw going over the top to Bobby Collins of Leeds.
Yeah.
Bobby, God bless him, was good at doing that, but John was a little bit better. But he was a terrific winger.
But you're alive and well.
Thank God.
How old are you now?
73.
Fantastic. All right. Thanks for your time.
See you soon.
So after speaking to Paddy Crerand, I went down to the mix zone where I spoke to Albert Riera. Albert is better known in England for playing for Liverpool. But in 2008, I received a call saying a friend of mine's just moved to Manchester to join Manchester City on loan. He doesn't know anybody. Is there any chance you can meet him and take him out and show him a few of the sights of the city? And that's what I did. That was Albert Riera. I knew his brother, Cito Riera, who's also a footballer. He was playing for Barcelona's B team alongside Arnau Riera, who's a close friend. And they're all from Manacor, which is a small town in Mallorca. So I met Albert then, showed him around, told him to do his worst for City, and never thought that he'd go on to play for Liverpool and do what he's done. He also played for Olympiacos and now he's at Galatasaray. And lost contact with him, really. And then I saw him walking through the mix zone.
In English?
Yes. Okay. How was the game tonight for you against Manchester?
It was good. We like to play on this way. We like to have a possession. We like to keep the ball. We have to create a lot of chances. And then we did today. It was a good game from us. It's true that at the end, last 10 minutes, Manchester was pushing us. But I think in general, it was a good game. We should win to have a chance to go through. And then... We depend on us on the next game that we wanted.
The atmosphere is incredible here.
Yeah. Definitely is one of the best. I play in a lot of countries, you know, but especially this one is just not supporting. It's just is a bit more. It's, sometimes it's too much. That is fanatic, you know, but it's incredible. It's incredible, and also when it's an important game like today that we need to win, also you can feel. Also a bit when Manchester came in the airport and everything, all these kind of things cannot happen in other countries like in Spain or England, you know. But it's true that in England most of the supporters also are good, you know, but especially here and also in Greece,
yes,
they are really, really fanatic, yeah.
Finally, some of the younger Manchester players played. Yeah. Which ones impressed you?
Yeah, it's true that they came with a lot of young players, but listen, if Ferguson choose that players, is because they have a quality to play for Manchester. So it doesn't matter that they are young. Of course, you have to give sometimes chances like now because they are already qualified for the next step. So it's normally if, in their situation we're going to do the same. But it's true they have a lot of good players, but still it's normal when you put a lot of players at the same time. It's sometimes a bit difficult, no? When you see the real performance when you play with normally with the first 11, you know, and you put little by little the young players, when you they play all together at the same time, so it's a bit difficult, because I know, you know, some games that you are already qualified or you don't play with the same intensity. Of course, if Manchester was playing with the normal team, maybe we don't know what's going to happen, you know, but it's true that it will be maybe a bit more difficult. But of course, I cannot tell you one special player that was playing well, but there are a lot of players that they are coming, and they are good players, of course.
So I've just got a series of buses from the stadium into Taksim Square, 7 or 8 buses, maybe even more, full of United fans. So the streets are now full of United fans. It's 1:15 in the morning. Not been any trouble at all so far. It's been there's blue flashing lights everywhere, but they're just escorting the buses. A lot of the United fans are knackered. Some of them got up at like 4 this morning. They've had a few beers. They've been to the game. They're absolutely shattered. It's a weird one, sort of seeing everyone walking around on the streets of Istanbul together.
So a lot of the United fans stayed out in Istanbul till 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning, and then went to the airport. It was at the airport, very, very busy Istanbul airport, because Turkish Airlines are after world domination, that bumps into some of the United fans, including one I've heard a lot about.
I'm Pat Connor, 74-year-old, been football United since the 50s. I watched Duncan Edwards, all the good teams. At that time, I think 1963, we bought Paddy Carreran. Still, I think he's one of the best midfield people that I've ever seen in my life. He could pass a ball. I mean, when he had Lord Best, Charlton Kennelly and Willie Morgan, he made all the goals. I wish we could have had him back now, today, because that's what we're missing in midfield.
Oh, Paddy listens to this podcast. He's going to be absolutely delighted because he's on this one. So you're saying that he's the most important Manchester United player you've ever seen?
I say if we had him today in our team, we could put him back. Yes, without a doubt.
And he didn't pay you to say this last night in Istanbul?
No, I know Paddy and he knows me, but he's great. He's a great lad.
And you're famous for wearing a red shirt to all the matches.
Yes.
You've worn it for how long?
40 years or thereabouts. I've had just a new one made now for an incident.
And it's not a United shirt?
Oh, no, I don't wear United colours, no.
Describe it.
It's red. Completely red, as well as you can get it.
What, like a dress shirt?
No, just an honest shirt.
Yeah.
Short sleeves. I wore my old one out, so I've had a new one made. So, but I've had an inside pocket cup for Europe.
What have been your high and low points following United?
I think the lowest point, I think, was Lisbon, 95.
05,
yeah. They just didn't turn up. It was really, I mean, everyone was saying, support your team, but you couldn't get round it to support your team because there was just nothing there. The high points, I think, not for mine, this is the 1968 European Cup final.
And you went to it at Wembley?
Yeah, I had a Zuppa car, took 4 my mates down, I drove, and went the motorway as far as the A5, Gailey Corner. Went down the A5, all the garages was treble, green shield stamps for United fans. Got on the North Circular, my water pump went, thought, sod that, I'll do that, when on the way back. Gets on to pull up everywhere. I remember going through Bedford, and I stopped to ask a couple where I could get water. And all he was interested was the match. So, you know, we used to know everything about the match. So we switched all the phones off in the station. When you look at today and look at in '68, you know, the country was completely behind us wherever we went. I got back at 7 o'clock in the morning and went straight to work.
You've seen Sir Matt Busby. You've seen Sir Alex Ferguson. What do you make of the latter?
Alex is definitely the best. He's built that stadium where it is today, through the turnstiles, not something like Chelsea or the City hierarchy there. We've actually built it through the turnstiles. People going there week in, week out, and following United around the globe. I've been to Tokyo, I've been to China, I've been to Washington, Philadelphia, you name it, I've been.
Thanks to Alex.
Thanks to Alex Ferguson, yeah. 26 years. That'll never be beaten. Never be beaten, that.
So you're 2 years, 3 years older than him?
Yes, and I think it's his quality of football as well. It's just not sterile like Sexton and Old Farrell. They were awful managers then. But Alex just has turned the club around completely.
And now you help out on with Champion Sport Travel.
Yeah, I help.
So you're in charge of looking after people?
No, I look after the thing for Tony. He's a lot on his plate and we both work together. We've got a happy family, actually. We've got regular people, especially in away matches. We never, ever have trouble. Never have trouble. We police ourselves. I mean, Mr. Chisholm's here, and I think he knows that we do a good job of work for him.
And Istanbul's been good?
Yeah, I've been here now 5 times. 3 times in the same hotel in the old quarter. Yeah, superb. The people are nice. Considering Chelsea and Leeds have the trouble all those years back, I've never experienced it yet. 2 years ago, I forgot who we played, but they actually cheered us from the pitch.
The Shinkas?
Yeah. They were absolutely superb, honestly.
Thanks for your time. Have a safe journey back to Manchester.
Thanks, Andy.
I'd like to welcome our final guest on today's podcast, Banu Yelkovan. She's a familiar face on Turkish television, where she's a football commentator, and she's looked after me on past visits to Istanbul. Hello, Banu.
Hi.
How was the game? How was it to beat Manchester United? What's the reaction been in Istanbul and in Turkey?
It was a fantastic game. Manchester United is a special team for all Galatasaray fans. Actually, all Turkish fans, Fenerbahce and Beşiktaş also have their memories with Manchester. And actually, people like Manchester because when it's not an important game from Manchester side point of view, they always come with young teams and we managed to beat them. Fenerbahce beat them, Beşiktaş beat them, and Galatasaray beat them for the first time, actually. And Turkish fans, they love Manchester United. They love Sir Alex Ferguson. And the game, especially the result, was fantastic from Galatasaray point of view, of course. And the other game went just fine also, Cluj beating Braga. And everybody was happy that night. All the people in the stadium and all the people, Turkish people, supporting Galatasaray, everybody was very happy.
The atmosphere was incredible. Is it normally like that?
The atmosphere, on the important games, it's always like that. The old stadium, Ali Samiyan, it was other thing. It was very, very special, but it was much smaller. And the atmosphere was great. In that new stadium, there's always more people coming to each game, but it's so big that sometimes you don't feel the same exact atmosphere on every game. But that was special. And in all big games like Fenerbahce, Beşiktaş, or important European Cup games, it's always like that.
Describe the atmosphere and the rivalry between Galatasaray and Fenerbahce, the two biggest teams in Turkey.
If a Beşiktaş fan hear you saying that, he will be very angry.
Okay, I'm sorry. The big three teams. Is the rivalry just as strong then with Beşiktaş? Is it really a three-way rivalry rather than just a two-way rivalry?
It's becoming a three-way rivalry, but for the moment, it's always in Fenerbahçe against Galatasaray, it's a little bit more big than Galatasaray against Beşiktaş or Fenerbahçe against Beşiktaş. How can I explain the rivalry? I've been to many derbies all over Europe and I've read a lot about them and I've been in many games, in big games, but our derby is nothing like them. The atmosphere is crazy. People start thinking about the game before, I don't know, 1 week before the game. They only talk about it. And if the game doesn't go well for their team, then all their life is ruined. And during the game, it's very loud, it's very crowded, and you don't sit for a single minute to your seat. You have to shout, you have to applaud, you have to chant. And there are always choreographies, just like the before Manchester game, very special choreographies that are big secrets. Nobody is allowed to talk about them because... It should be the big event of the night. So it's a very special thing. You have to be there to understand what I try to explain. It's indescribable, actually. It's very different and it's very intense.
So you must be disappointed then when you go to other games. The big games in England, which you visited, the atmosphere is nowhere near as good.
No, actually, yes. Before going to these big games in Europe, I was expecting a lot more, especially from England. But the atmosphere was nothing like ours. Liverpool fans, okay, they think you will never walk alone, but they just think before the game and during the game you hear nothing. And also in Manchester United, okay, I respect a lot your culture, your history, your fans, your teams, everything, but the atmosphere is nothing like ours. Ours is, I think, a lot more passionate, a lot more loud, a lot more noisy, and we sing during the whole game. We don't shut our mouth for a single minute. We keep singing and singing. When we are losing or when we are winning, we always sing. If you must know, if you've been to Liverpool Beşiktaş, I think if you ask any Liverpool fans who were in the stadium or any Liverpool footballer, they will say the exact same thing I'm trying to say now.
Yeah, the Manchester United players and fans who went to Beşiktaş 2 or 3 years ago and to Bursaspor, they would say the same. They respect that the atmosphere is brilliant and they really like Istanbul as a city as well. A lot of the Galatasaray fans and Turkish football fans are superstitious. I believe it's called Totem.
Totem.
And yes. Just explain this to people. What does this mean?
Totem, a real totem, you can never tell. If it's a working thing, you shouldn't tell your totem because then it will stop working. But this is a, I would say, this is a, like an habit. And you think that if you wear the same shirt or if you do the same exact routine on the game day or I don't know, if you wear the same socks, you know, I don't know, it depends what your totem is. And you will win, okay? This is a belief that you do certain things to help your team win. It could be your socks, it could be your shirt, it could be your hair, it could be anything. Almost every supporter has its own totem. And for instance, my sister, she has many of them. If I don't, let's say I'm sitting on a certain position looking at the game, and then Galatasaray scores, and then I have to sit the same way for the rest of the game. Do you understand what
yes,
I mean?
Yes, yeah.
Or if I'm eating something and the team scores, and then I have to eat the same thing for the rest of the game. It could be anything. If it's working, for instance, in Turkey, when you look games on television, you see when you see the president sitting on a certain chair, and then, if I don't know, 10 minutes later, the television shows the president and he's sitting on a different chair. It means that he thinks the team is not scoring, so he has to change his place. You know, it's from the bottom to the top. Everybody has its totems.
And sometimes the fans can be a bit crazy. Last year, Fenerbahce banned males going to the game. So they played some games, I understand, where only females were allowed into the stadium and 50,000 girls and ladies turned up to watch a game?
Yes, exactly. And not for one single game, for a lot of games. Fenerbahce has been suspended last year for after the Shakhtar game. So it was only female. The federation decided to make to invite women and children instead of playing or to empty stands. It was not a bad idea, but they still call it empty games. So this is the one thing we are protesting as females. But otherwise, the female fans, they have created an incredible atmosphere in the stadiums, and not for only one time. They did it game after game after game, and not only Fenerbahçe fans, Beşiktaş fans, Trabzonspor fans, because they have every team has been suspended in Turkey, except for Galatasaray. Galatasaray never played a ladies' game yet. But it was, I've been to two of them. It was an incredible atmosphere. The female fans, they chanted during 90 minutes without stopping, but it was still strange because most of them didn't know the rules, at the beginning at least. So it was a different atmosphere because they were chanting and applauding the same way, I don't know, a corner, I don't know, any a side kick, anything. They were. It was the same during the whole game.
So if the team had a corner or a goal kick, the cheers were just as loud as if a goal had been scored.
Exactly, and it was very strange for the footballers. They said it on many different occasions because they kept singing the same way. So it was not, I don't know, when you go to a football game, okay, normal supporters, when there is something exciting, okay, there is loud, it's loud. But on other minutes, you just sit and watch the game. No, with female supporters, everything was as exciting as a goal, you know. A corner was exciting, or I don't know. A shoot to their goal was exciting. A shoot to the opponent's goal was exciting, you know. It was same for everything, so it was different. But they showed everybody that they can be as passionate and as crowded as men. So it was a good thing.
Thank you for your time, Banu. Maybe Manchester United will play Galatasaray again this season in the later stages of the European Cup. And this time I promise Manchester United will play the strongest team and maybe even beat you.
Okay, we'll see what will happen if they play the strongest team then.
So that's it for the 15th United We Stand podcast of the season. We'll be back next week recording a podcast in Manchester. United have got games against QPR and West Ham at home, followed by an away trip to Reading at the end of next week. We've got a new United We Stand out on Saturday against QPR, issue 222. If you've not ordered one by postal subscription, you can do that by visiting our website, uwsonline.com. We've got a video diary of the Galatasaray trip on our website too. And remember to download the free United We Stand app through iTunes, and then you can order your subscription by following the links from there. Until next week, goodbye.